What's up, everybody? Anthony Frieda here. Welcome to Badum Biz. All right, today on the show, we got another drummer this week, really good drummer by the name of Felix Holton. Felix is a drummer for the band right now for the artist Benny. Benny was just actually on a couple months back on the featured on the Tonight Show on a performance with Jimmy Fallon, but it was during COVID, so they kind of shot a video for it. We talk about it in the episode. Actually, he's a really good drummer, and he's a super nice guy from New Zealand. It was really cool that we were able to zoom all the way from me here in Jersey and him over there in New Zealand. So incredibly nice guy. Please follow him. Check out Benny. Really good music, actually. I'm a fan. I think you guys are going to enjoy this episode. And yeah, we just talk about some really good drumming topic stuff. So without further ado, enjoy the episode. What is up, everybody? I got a great guest today. I'm really excited. I like this guy a lot. His name is Felix Holton, and he is the drummer for Benny. Right? Is that how you say Benny?
Yeah, that is. That's correct.
Welcome, dude. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Stoked. Very excited.
Yeah, man. It's cool. It's cool how things work out, man. I met Felix because, man, I needed some money. A buddy of mine threw me at an opportunity to literally drive a van for your band, for Benny. You guys were super fucking cool. Nice. Very, very welcoming. But I think when we got there, right? Because we went, we went to DC, then we went to New York, then to Boston, back to,
Boston, yeah.
When we got to DC, I remember it was just a thing of, all right, take Felix, the drummer, to Guitar Center. He's got to pick up some stuff, right?
Yeah, that was the first time I ever met you. I remember we hopped in the car and then I know, started chatting straight away because we both had experiences with Dave Elitch.
That's right.
And we kind of hit off on that. And that was started off on a good note.
Well, I had shared with you that I took a lesson with Dave like a couple years ago. And it was, yeah, it was kind of like a life-changing lesson because Dave's thought out such a great technique for not just, he likes to say that, I want to give you a technique. I want to be able to play a technique that will let me play on big stages where I have to play loud. But also, if I need to actually play with lower dynamics and actually make a good sound, out of the drum. But also, give me endurance, not injure myself,
And, yeah, for sure.
And, yeah, we were bonding over that. And it was cool because did you say that you had you bought his lesson that he put out?
Yes. I mean, I've always been a big fan of his playing. When I was younger, I used to watch, there's that classic video of him playing with the Mars Volta at the big day out in Australia where he's just going absolutely apeshit and it's just awesome. And then I'd seen him kind of promote his teaching online for a while. And then one day I was like, something's not working. I'm sore. I just feel a bit blocked up playing wise. So I think this would be a good idea. And I bought that midway through 2018 and I'm still breaking it apart now. I'm still working on it. It's pretty crazy.
It's funny. I have that same lesson.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
In the philosophy behind it, man. And you know what? Yeah. When I got to see you play, I saw it.
That's a big compliment for me. So thank you so much.
And I heard it too. Because Dave talks a lot about, I like how the way he has it is the stick is in the palm of your hand, which means that the stick is underneath your arm. And that means that all of the weight of your arm is above the stick, but it's not being choked.
Yeah. So just like an extension of your arm.
Yeah. And he has this idea of, an effortless stroke will get you a big sound. You want the drums to sing, to vibrate, So I was hearing that, but also seeing
dude, your posture. Fuck, bro. Your posture when you play. I struggle with that. I still struggle with that. But you got it, man.
I think it's so funny because that's like not like trying to, I don't know, pipe myself up or anything, but that's something that I've just always done. Like, I remember even when I was playing drums, and I know, like in my early teens, I was always, that was the one thing anybody would ever say was, your back is like so straight. Like, how are you doing it? It's like, that's just literally how I play. I think I remember watching videos of, I think his name, is it Matthew Greiner? Is he the drummer for All the Spoons Red? I remember I know through high school, I was super into just like heavier kind of music. And I'd always watch him to see how big and strong he looked when he was playing. And I was like, fuck, I just want to look like that. I want people to think that I know what I'm doing and look confident about it. So
imitation is powerful, man. Being able to model yourself off of your favorite drummers, man, having this, having unlimited footage, you know, of them playing. Yeah. It's amazing. It's an amazing.
Well, I think, cause like that's pretty much how I learned how to play drums. You know, I never really had any traditional training, if you want to call it that. I pretty much learned by, I had a teacher at school who'd come over to my house and just like teach me how to play along to Led Zeppelin. And then I'd watch videos of drummers playing, try and copy them, play along with my dad who was a guitar player.
Oh, cool.
So a lot of my learning, a lot of my teaching was just from observing other people.
Do you, now, it sounds like you grew up in a musical household because you said your dad was a guitar player.
So my dad was, I mean, he was involved in bands kind of up until I was born. I was the thing that kind of came along and he realized that he couldn't do that anymore. Which I don't know, I fully respect him for that. But yeah, I know it was great, like growing up, because like my dad would kind of not let me, but he'd encourage me to listen to anything other than what was on the top 40 on the radio. And so I was kind of brought up, I mean, the first CD I got given was like Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, great.
I'm not sure what album it was. And then I had all the Led Zeppelin albums. I fell in love with like Keith Moon from The Who.
Oh, dude. Yeah, man.
So I'm very grateful that I was kind of plunged into that deep end of just not like mainstream music, which is kind of funny to say because like now I'm, you know, involved in like a pop setting. But I think it was nice to kind of start off like that and just learn from those sources, I guess.
Was it helpful to, while you were learning, because you said you had a teacher in the beginning, had this imitation, this idea that, okay, I can go on the internet and learn so much just by watching and listening. Did you find it was extra helpful to be able to play with your father? To actually play
definitely.
With
I like, still to this day, I kind of owe a lot to him. I think he is definitely my biggest influence in terms of music because he was the person who taught me feel, you know, like instead of sitting down and reading sheet music and stuff like that, or like trying to sit down, like learn a specific feel. I remember one day he was like, you sound great, but like, you're just sloppy right now. And like, I was like 9 or 10 and that just like freaked me out. And so I was just so, ever since then, I was like, I just need to make sure that like, I mean, I'm the drummer and he's a guitar player. Like he needs a solid bass. And so I just like really tried to be that for him. And I mean, it just helps so much.
So I mean, right? At a young age, man. I mean, that's usually a lot. That's like you said, you're sloppy for a bunch of years. And until you become an adult and like you're in bands and shit like that.
Yeah.
Expected to be more
for sure.
Structured and right. So you got that lesson though at a young age.
Yeah, I think that's what was so important about it was that the way I learned how to play drums was playing with other people, you know? And so, I mean, like, that was so beneficial for me because 99% of the time I'm going to be playing with other people. Like, I never go and, like, hop up on stage and play half an hour of just straight drums.
Right.
So it kind of just taught me that, you know, this is an instrument that needs to be just the base of the house. Everything else gets built off the top of that. And if the foundation is solid, then everything else is just going to be able to sit on top of it nicely.
It definitely shows, man.
Thank you.
So, you know, on that tour, on that like little tour that I was talking about when I was driving the bus, you know, or driving the van.
Yeah.
It was cool, man, because I got to see you guys perform, or I had the opportunity to see you guys perform every one of your performances. I saw the first two, and I mean, you mentioned something before about playing pop music now. And you're right. Yeah, you're in a pop act. However, I was so stoked to hear you guys, because you and Dylan, right, on bass?
Yeah.
Dylan on bass. You're the rhythm, the pocket, you know, and I'm thinking these kids are young, and it's like sort of neo soul hip hop feel.
Definitely. There's like a lot of definitely with the Benny stuff, and that's something I've been noticing a lot more recently. It's pretty groovy. Like it's very groove orientated, especially with the bass lines as well. I think with Dylan and I, I've known Dylan since I was 9 years old, and we've always played in bands together. So it's been like, I think just having the years of only ever playing together and like probably being a bit shit together has kind of helped, you know, we kind of just know each other musically now. So.
So you had a very solid, man, like really grooving sound, like something that you, I'll be honest, man, I don't really see that in a pop, you know, mainstream pop.
That's cool to hear, man. Thank you.
It was very exciting. Told me like, okay, if that's the future, I'm very kind of thing. And Stella, man, she's such a fun person to be around. Like even
she's great, man, right? Dude,
the energy she's got, and then she brings that on stage. It's all authentic too.
Yeah,
there's nothing put on. That's her.
Yeah,
I was definitely. Able to help.
I think that's one thing. You know, that's why I'm like super proud to be part of this project, or like just, you know, be on board, is the fact that, you know, I know Stella super well, and we're always hanging out. And then when I go up on stage, it's the exact same. There's no ego that takes over. All of a sudden, like, you know, she's a horrible person backstage, and then she's all fun and lovely on stage. Like she's just like that all the time. She's just a great person. I think that's what, you know, really draws a lot of the attention to her, is just the fact that she is so herself and so not afraid to be like that. I think that really cuts through in the world that we live in today, especially with music.
Yeah.
And especially in the pop world as well. You know, I think it's very important to just really stay true to yourself, and if people appreciate that, then at least they're appreciating you for something that's like real, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, when you're in front of a live, you know, somebody talented, and you're seeing them in their element, and you can also tell that they're themselves. I mean, it's just so, it's so valuable.
Yeah.
You know, I really hope I see more of that. I would say somebody in the pop world that I think Anderson .Paak represents that a little bit.
Definitely. You know? Definitely, for sure.
I mean, like.
Killer drummer as well.
Killer drummer. Right? I mean,
so good.
Don't you kind of hate him a little bit? You're like, oh, you're a frontman and a drummer?
Yeah, I know. It's like, and it's one of those things as well that like looks so, and I wouldn't say it looks easy, but like I struggle to even like talk while I'm playing the drums, let alone like rap or sing.
Yeah.
And he's just so tight as well. So tight, and so groovy. He's a star, man. He's crazy.
Can you just talk, like for listeners, talk about your touring experience, like, you know, being on stage in front of big crowds, nice stages too, nice sound systems, you know what I mean? Like, what are some cool stories? What are some cool moments you remember?
Far out. I think like it's all been just such a whirlwind. And like, I think I've just been just incredibly grateful the whole time. I mean, this is something that like, this is, I kind of laugh about it, because I remember I had this moment probably when I was like 13 or like 14, where I just kind of realized, I was like, this is like, if it's not drumming, then it's not going to be anything else. Like, that's all I'm going to do. Like, I don't enjoy anything else at school. Like, and so it was always just kind of a dream to be able to do that. And so when I did get, when the, you know, the tours started popping up, I was just, first of all, just so happy about it. I think that was great because that has just always affected my experience with tour. You know, like, obviously tour is hard and stressful, and, you know, the lows are very low and the highs are very high, but just having just that kind of like gratitude towards the fact that I was able to do it was just, I don't know, helps me through a lot. But yeah, like I've never really traveled before. I'm from like a small town, and so to be able to travel, I think that was one of the greatest things, you know, to see different countries and meet different people, and yeah, like play to different people as well. Like, it's super interesting the different responses that people in different areas have.
Yes, that's right.
But yeah, I know, it's just, it always just sounds like so cheesy, but it is really quite a dream come true.
I mean, you know, we were talking right before we started recording, but I wanted to make sure, you know, see how you were doing, because we're in COVID still, right?
And yeah.
The first thing I asked you, man, I was like, tell me, you know, what did that do, man? Because you guys were touring. You guys, I'm sure, had some big plans ahead of you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, this whole year was meant to be pretty tour heavy. We were meant to go, I think, 3 weeks after the lockdown in New Zealand got announced. We were meant to be going on tour for like a month and a half around the States and Europe. And there was plenty more stuff planned for the year as well. But yeah, it's just all been cut, which was pretty disappointing because I was pretty excited for it. But then on the other hand, it has kind of been a nice time because I'm in my last year of university right now. So it's meant that I can have a bit more time to just nail that out, get that finished. But yeah, we're touring around New Zealand in October, October, which will be super fun because it's going to be the first time that we've been able to play a show together since Laneway Festival, which was in January.
Oh, wow.
So this has been like the longest break I've had from gigging in quite I don't know, 3 years or something. It's been quite odd. But I mean, it gives you time to kind of sit back and reflect on everything and get excited for more. You know, rather than just get caught up in the whirlwind.
Absolutely. Now, do you guys live near each other?
So Stella, who that's Benny, she lives in Auckland. And then Tia, Dylan, and I all live in Wellington. So I actually live with Tia. Tia and Dylan are actually both in the room next door right now at our university. But yeah, Tia and I are going to move up to Auckland next year. Dylan's going to stay down here because he's got his little like musical promotion business and stuff that's doing quite well. So he's going to stay in here and knuckle that out. But yeah, we'll just like fly up to Auckland whenever we have something on. So it's just super fun. I'm pretty sure anyway, which mean bummer, but it is what it is. Still super stoked that we're even able to be on the show in general.
Of course. Cause when I saw that, I was like, yeah, they probably did that. They probably put that together real fast. That's impressive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the exact logistics were, but I remember there was a very quick turnaround of when it had to be done by, when it had to be sent off. So it was a big couple of days, but it was super fun, man. It was nice to see everyone again and do something that felt a little bit professional after I'd just been eating and watching YouTube for the whole of lockdown.
Man. So was that your experience where it was just like, what the fuck do I do with myself?
Yeah. Like I'd been up in my hometown for a funeral and I came back on the plane, and about a week later I got a call saying someone on your plane, on your flight had COVID. So you have to self-isolate. So I was like, oh, all right, like I'll do that. Self-isolated for like a week and then the lockdown got announced. And so I was just like, oh, come on. Like I thought I was going to be out of this after a week and a half, but now I've been given a couple more months. But I know I kind of just went into it like, you can't do anything about it. It is what it is. And so
That's good mindset, because you're totally right. There's nothing you can do about it. You got to.
Well, I felt at the moment you start trying to fight it is when it just becomes harder.
That's right.
You know, just accept the fact that it's happening and it has to happen. And if everyone works together, you'll get through it faster. I mean, it was kind of nice. I'd been pretty busy since. I mean, we went on our first tour early 2019, and we just kind of hadn't stopped since then. Like, I was going to university still, working a part-time job and also touring.
Wow.
As well as like trying to maintain a social life and just being a human being. And so it was actually quite nice to have some time to just have absolutely nothing on and just, I don't know, figure out some shit, really.
That's right. I just had another drummer on, right, actually right before you, and he said the same thing. It's kind of like, you know, that time to stop and, man, collect the thoughts, man. Collect the thoughts and work through them. You know, I had that same thing. It's like, oh, shit, I didn't realize I had to work through these emotions or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite funny how you can really kind of push it to the back of your mind, and then it can just fly out like a big surprise. You know, all of a sudden you're realizing that this has actually been on your mind for a while, but you've just been ignoring it.
That's right, man.
But I think lockdown also was just a great, I don't know, gave me a great opportunity to practice again, like practice drums. Because all my practicing I'd been doing before was just rehearsing or like learning parts. And so this gave me the opportunity to be able to just sit down and just play and like learn new things. And no, it was quite nice.
What you've been working on? What kind of stuff has been interesting you?
I remember through lockdown, again, like Dave Elitch would post on his Instagram.
Yeah.
A few like different licks and stuff. And so I'd try to learn those. And it's like, I don't know, playing along to songs. Again, like working on really grounding myself behind the kit. I'd spend a lot of time like just running through our set list for Benny, just so I was like, all right, if we start going on tour again, I want to feel even more comfortable than I did before.
Oh, that's good.
And so, yeah, pretty samey with what I was practicing, but just kept it consistent.
It's foundational stuff.
Yeah. What about you? What have you been practicing recently?
Oh man, I actually, the reason why I wanted to make a point to acknowledge that you kind of were like, what am I going to do with myself? Because, you know, thankfully for me, I teach drum lessons. So it's always in studio in person. So when this happened, you know, we couldn't do it in person anymore. And, I mean, look, for the last 5 years or something like that, I've been doing a lot of home recording, and then working on my mixing, you know, a little bit of production too. So those skills allowed me to be able to set up this right here is how I, So thankfully, I was forced into learning how to do a virtual lesson setup. Yeah. So it's been nothing but successful. And
awesome. That's so good to hear, man.
Thanks, man. I mean, it could be a new line of income, source of income. I mean, but I definitely also launched the podcast, this show, the first weekend of the lockdown. Because I had been recording for months, just stacking up episodes. So, yeah, it was kind of like, perfect timing, I guess. But yeah, so that's kind of all I've been doing, man. Just, you know, here and there, recording some drums for a friend, for their songs and, you know, kind of collabing like that, you know, shit like that. It was cool.
There was a bit of a freeze there.
We had a freeze. That's cool.
We're back.
Yeah. That's cool, man. So just, you know, doing some home recording and mixing and production. You know, I traded tracks back and forth with some musician friends of mine, and we, you know, did some like distant, what would you call that? Like that postal service shit when you're sending each other files and
yeah.
It was kind of fun actually. So, but yeah, just keeping busy with that, man. That's right. I was going to ask you, you know, like a guy like you with your talent, you know, have you thought about putting out, I'm sure you've seen, there's a ton of drummers who are great, who are putting out these videos.
Mm.
Like, because they're so good and they put out good content, they get a lot of followers and it's shared a lot, you know. You could be a guy to do that. Does that interest you? Do you have the gear to do it? Like, you know.
Are you talking about like uploading like to Instagram and stuff? Like with drumming videos? I mean, it's something that I've definitely thought about before. I'm kind of weird with it because I'm so picky about what I'd post. Like I often, like I'll sit down and I'll film stuff And I watch back. I'm like, nah, this isn't the right one. Like, I've got to wait, which is stupid. I just need to chuck stuff up. But I also quite like, and I think I have, like, most of my Instagram feed is drummers. But I quite like for myself personally, I know I kind of like people's first impression of me and my drumming to be in person. I know that's kind of a bit harder to reach more people because obviously, you know, anyone can just swing by Instagram and have a browse. But I've always kind of like showed my drumming and my talent, I guess if you'd call it, to people in person. I don't know. It's weird. I'm just so picky with that stuff. It can be pretty silly.
You're exposing yourself essentially. Mm. I remember the first time I put out a video. I remember going, I regret this only because of the unknown, you know. What if it's like, I don't know if people are going to like this, or what if somebody says this sucks, you know. I get that. And you know what? Your thoughts about like, I'd like people to discover my talent in person. Well, I mean, you got that. There's a lot of merit to that because that's why I reached out to you in person. Your drumming is good. It is very good to see.
Thank you, bro.
That's good, man. Yeah. I mean, I hope one day to see in the feed, man, like I hope to see a video from you.
Hopefully. I mean, I just don't even have any recording gear or anything at the moment, but that is something that I'm looking into getting, especially next year when I move to a different city. I think I have a bit more of a space to be able to do that. You know, at the moment I've just got like a tiny drum kit set up in my garage at home, which I can only play every now and then because I've got neighbors, you know?
Yeah. People don't realize the hardest part, man, being a drummer is like finding space and having people around you that are cool with it.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to my flatmates the other day. I was like, man, like I just wish that drums were quiet sometimes, because like, you know, I could have a day where I am super busy all day and I don't really have time, or I don't really feel like playing drums, and then I'll get home at like 9 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there and I've just got this urge to play drums, and I can still, you know, whiz away on my practice pad and stuff, but it's not the same.
Not the same. I get that. But you know, man, when you think about it though, and you just think about like, what do we spend our time doing? We're digitally, mostly we're in the digital world with what we're doing, right? With our enjoyment or even work. You're on the internet. You're connected through the digital atmosphere, right? But what we do on this instrument is it's quite amazing when you really step back to think where you have learned how to make an ugly, harsh sound beautiful, right? And to coordinate your limbs to create like a piece of music that makes people want to move. I mean, and you're doing this, like you just said, live in person. You're doing that live in person. You're making something come alive. It is incredible, you know? So yeah, but that's why it's kind of like there's that. Do you like electronic drums? What are your thoughts?
I've never personally been a fan of them just because I've never really used them. You know, I've always played on acoustic drums. And so when I did, I think we had like an electric drum kit at like my intermediate or middle school. Do you guys call it middle school or intermediate?
Middle school.
Yeah, yeah. I had one of those and I just remember it just felt so strange. And like, I think I'd heard someone make some comment about like, oh, like electronic drums, like stupid, you know, it's not the real thing. And so I was like 9 years old, like going around like, yeah, electronic drums, like stupid, not the real thing. Just because I thought it was like cool to say that.
Technically, but, it's not though, you know? Technically, you're not making any of those sounds. And that's what I was saying before. It's like acoustic, you have to make this thing sound good. It's not just playing the right rhythms in time.
Yeah.
But they are fun though, those electronic.
Definitely.
The nice ones.
Yeah.
Really nice ones. They almost have you convinced. Like if they can figure out the cymbals, you know, it can get a little.
They could do something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I bought one. Yeah, one of like a $5,000-$6,000, like.
Far out.
Yeah, I mean, he said he's like, I love it, dude, because exactly what you just said. It's 2 a.m. I got that weird inspiration that comes out of nowhere, and he can play, you know.
But, yeah.
But you're not working on anything, I feel like, really, as far as your sound goes.
For sure. I mean, for me, my whole thinking behind it is like, I'm never, or at least for now, I'm never going to hop up on stage and be playing on an electric drum set.
Right.
So why should I spend my time practicing on one? You know, I'd rather
say the same thing.
Practice what I'm going to be doing.
That's right.
I feel like it's kind of like, you know, like training for a marathon wearing Converses, and then you go to run the actual marathon and you've got New Balances on. You know, like it's
right.
you got to keep it kind of cohesive with what you're doing. It's just my personal opinion anyway.
And I agree with you. And not a lot of people know about, not a lot of, I tend to like try to talk as though people don't understand. So I kind of like to explain things. So what you just said, yeah, I mean, it's like they're fun, but they're not real. And you know what? Have you seen a performance like a legitimate live performance where there was a drummer playing?
Never. Oh, actually, I did. I went and saw James Blake in Auckland. Yeah. I think it was last year. And his drummer, he just had like the kick drum was like one of those electronic drum kick drum. But like he had like a real snare and real cymbals and stuff. So I've never seen a full scale electronic kit at a live show before.
They're weird, man. They're weird because I remember I saw Neil Peart long time ago.
Yeah.
He had like a, you know, he's got like a, he's surrounded by drums. One side of it is all electronic. I also saw a Trans-Siberian Orchestra a couple of years ago too. And he played in electronic drums, but had real cymbals.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about live music, man, is especially with drums, there's a weird thing. You know, that sound is over there. You know where it's coming from. And you can kind of feel it. You feel that vibration. Something exciting about that. Something like primal about that, you know?
Oh, definitely.
When they were playing those things though, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was really strange. You didn't feel
it just doesn't have the same energy, you know? Yeah. And I think that's where I can kind of link back to talking about, you know, wanting people to see me for the first time playing drums in person, is because then you can really kind of capture that essence of the energy that the drummer's creating. You know, like I want my drumming to, like you said before, like make people want to dance and just make people just feel something. And so, yeah, I think it's super important to really work on that and try and maintain that.
Totally right about that. Let me ask you, based on what you just said, actually, how would you define what groove is?
Ooh,
tough one.
I think it's just like, oh, it's such a hard right? thing to explain. I think for me personally, it's just that spot. Like, you always know when someone's hitting that spot, and it's because you're not sitting there. You just feel confident dancing to it, or you feel confident listening to it, and you're not sitting there going, oh, I wonder if this is going to fall out of place, or I wonder if this is going to hold together. It's just that like utter confidence behind the beat, you know?
So a similar word would be like you said before, that energy.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, like, cause I'm fascinated by that question, because I think everybody has their own journey and to figure out how to a drummer that is. How to figure out that they can actually make something feel good and then see the results. You know, people are actually dancing. That's a powerful feeling, by the way. when people are to what you're playing, you in a band, you know.
Definitely.
And you could like see if something doesn't sound as good, if you're not as confident with a certain song or beat, that energy will go away. You can clear
it. For sure.
You know.
For sure.
But would you say like have you been wowed by another musician that's like not a drummer, but could be a violinist, could be, you know, have you been like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah. Recently, I'm going to do a little bit of a shout out right now. There's this cool band in Wellington called Homicide. Homicide, yeah. Who we have, there's like a venue in town that does free gigs every Wednesday night. And like everyone just like, it's always packed. Everyone goes and socializes. And, you know, you can often just stumble across something cool. And the saxophone player of this band was just like, first of all, the drummer was amazing, but the saxophone player was just incredible. And just the way that they were working together. I think it was just the element of surprise as well, because I turned up to that gig not even knowing who was playing. Mm. I saw the name Homicide, and I thought that may have been like, I thought it was like a metal band or something. And then they rock up and they're just like amazing jazz musicians. I think that was the last time where I saw someone who I was just like, whew, this is, I'm getting lost in this right now.
I feel like that's the same thing as groove. It's just our version of that is organized, is meant to be, it's almost like you're going to get the energy in bursts.
Yeah.
And if it's consistent enough, you want to move to it. And I feel like that same cap, you know, you're captivated by the energy behind the performance.
Yeah, definitely. I also personally think that like everyone has their own different form of groove, you know, and like the people who like a lot of drummers that I really look up to, I feel are people who have like tapped into that groove that's like, you know, unique to them. And then they attack that with full confidence. Cause I know for me personally, you know, I've fallen into the trap many times, especially when I was younger, of like kind of undervaluing your own personal strengths and weaknesses as well, and trying to sound too much like someone else. Like, oh, this person's playing this. If I play it, then people are going to think I'm the same. But it's like, who wants to, you know, if you have the option to go and watch me play Dave Illich's parts, or you go watch Dave Illich play his own parts, it's like, you're going to want to go watch Dave Illich.
You're right.
You know, like there's no point trying to compare yourself to others or copy others, because at the end of the day, like you're never going to be them, and people are always going to spend their money on seeing the real deal than
that's right.
Someone else.
I know that from, because I used to be a huge, I still love the guy, but huge JoJo Mayer fan.
Yeah.
He really like, I changed completely when I started, you know, when I really discovered what him and Nerve, his band, were doing. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like set up the kit like him, only because I just thought the way that he was thinking about drums was as though it were a drum machine.
Yeah. And,
you know, versus, you know, what it had been in the past, which, you know, it's funny because like when you, at this time right now, and even in, when I was the age you were when you started playing, the shit that was popular in the drum world was double bass drum pedal and a lot of toms.
Yeah.
And licks and shit. And
yeah.
I mean, you could gag with the amount of that content. it was over the top. And eventually like you just realized, yeah, but none of that shit's going to get me a gig. Seriously. Or how about this? None of that shit is going to is going to make a band go, this is the guy for the gig, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You learn that pretty quick though. When nobody wants to be in the room with you, drum. But yeah, man, I know it's totally, you're totally on the money about that. But with that in mind though, who are drummers? And it could be when you were younger, it could be even now, who are just, man, you can't get them out of your head. They constantly, you think about their drumming and they have inspired you.
That's such a hard question because it changes so much. I think far out. Who have I been thinking about recently? I really like actually on my in terms of impacting my drumming personally, I reckon Abe Cunningham from Deftones.
Oh, cool.
Big influence just because they used to be my favorite band. I used to listen to them all through like high school and stuff. And I would just love the way that he played. I thought it was so, he has a very unique way of playing without it being so unique that the band becomes something that it's not. If you get what I mean.
Meaning like, it's kind of like how you could tell Jimmy Page is playing on a
strong. Yeah. It's like his musical voice is so strong without taking away from the essence of the whole group. Yeah, and I was just like really appreciate the fact that he was able to do that. Who else? I really love Justin Brown. Thundercat's drummer. Dave Elitch. Oh, I just recently, I'm not sure how you say his last name. Adam Deitch
or something like that.
I like recently discovered him and he's so good. He's got such good feel, such good pocket.
I got to tell you, man, you're making me think now because I'm very lucky. I've seen a lot of great drummers in person play and I saw Adam Deitch actually. And I discovered him, like about him. I mean, it was Modern Drummer Festival 2010, I think.
Yeah.
And, it was him. Benny Greb was on there that day.
Oh, he's also great. Yeah, right. it's kind of weird because I mean, all my experiences with these drummers have been over the internet. Like, I've never seen any of them play in person before. I've never actually thought about that until now. it's quite.
That's why, man. I hope that you know when things kick back up for you and you guys start traveling to other countries. And you contact me. You let me know when you're in the city.
For sure, man.
You're in New York City. I say the city because it's right there. New York City. We'll try to go and see. You got to see Robert Glasper experiment.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, that's Chris Dave. My goodness.
I saw him like 2 years ago.
Really?
I sat right behind him.
Oh.
It was in the Blue Note, you know. And dude, I mean, like, actually, it's kind of a funny story if you don't mind me telling. I think you'll get amused by it. Dude, when you think about playing brushes, right?
Yeah.
You think about like delicate playing, right?
Yeah.
Would you ever think about like hammering with a brush?
Nah, never.
It's like, why just play with a stick, right? So at a certain point, he's playing with brushes, but he's doing something interesting with the rubbing of the brush on the head, right? But at a certain point, he starts hitting these. You know how he has those spiral cymbals?
Yeah. Right?
He starts hitting those real fucking hard. Dude. Yeah. Then he starts hitting rim shots with the one brush. About 3 minutes into this, you start seeing bristles flying up in the air. Like landing on people in the crowd. Like
far out.
I mean, I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
However, it sounded great. You know what I mean?
I bet. Well, it's Chris Daddy Dave. Anything he does is going to sound great.
Incredible, man.
It's insane. Oh, I also have to say Morgan Simpson from – have you heard of Black Midi before?
No, I haven't.
Just they're quite – I think they're maybe a year older than me, so they'll be like 22. Maybe a couple of them the same age as me, but they're from the UK. They're
What's the name again?
Black Midi.
Oh, Black Midi, I've heard of. Yeah.
Yeah. So Morgan, who drums for them, is fucking insane. Like, I think he's definitely one of the most, in terms of my age bracket, he's like a groundbreaking musician at the moment. Like, his voice on the instrument. Simpson?
Morgan Simpson. Man. All right.
You should, when you can, watch some videos of him playing with that band, because he just like, you just have to watch it. I can't even put it into words. It's just crazy.
He's going on my list for sure. So you just said Simpson and you got me thinking, do you know this guy, Brody Simpson?
Is he from Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've stumbled past him on my like Instagram explore page a couple of times. He's got tasty groove.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I like about this time. You got guys like him, and you could shout like Aaron Sterling, and they're not playing on stages. They're in their studio, and they're doing these very, very, very unique. Man, like, I would say difficult to even perform these patterns that they wind up producing to sound like something that would be sampled, like in hip hop or some hip hop stuff or drum and bass or, you know, electronic, you know. And Brody Simpson puts out these videos, man. It really, sometimes I'm like, I got to get to work. It's so solid, you know. And, but that's what I like. It's kind of like he's his own production house. So it's not like he can just record drums. He literally can record beats and play them. And that's, to me, that excites me. That just goes to show that, man, humans we're amazing. Humans are amazing because drummers were being put out of work because of the digital technology. So drummers decided to go, you know what? Those digital beats, they sound different and they sound cool.
Mm.
And I think the reason why they sounded different was because producers don't think like drummers. They think
exactly, right?
We're kind of limited by our limbs in the way we think. But drummers learn to go, that shit's awesome. I'm going to learn how to play that way. Did the hard work. And now they have, you know, now I guess a drummer could have an extended career because of, I mean, I think you're an example of this. You don't play your typical drum set shit. You play with electronic beats in mind. I definitely on Super Lonely. You have
nice for sure.
House kind of groove to it. But all that other neo soul hip hop stuff, it's, you have a particular feel, you know, that you have to have a good ear.
Mm.
So that's why it's exciting to see it, man. It's very cool.
For sure.
Cool, man. I don't want to keep it too long. We're about almost an hour. Yeah, man. Do you have any, like, do you do any endorsements of any products? Maybe, like, nah, you got out or anything?
I actually don't at the moment. I'm a solo man.
Really?
But endorsements, get at me for sure.
Definitely. Were we talking about Big Fat Snare Drum? You were using those, right? Those Big Fat Snare Drums?
Nah, not me.
Oh, you weren't?
I think you were. Oh, what were we? We were talking about something on the tour. Might have been, wait, do you use Istanbul cymbals or are you on?
Yeah, I have hats right in front of me here. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get one of those clap stacks.
Oh, I got one right across the room, dude. It's a game changer. I'm not joking with you. It's a game changer. And
yeah,
you know what?
I bet.
Do you know how, like, you always wonder, is this going to cut over the mix? You're always like, right? That thing, for whatever reason, cuts.
Just pierces through. Yeah, I mean, because even just those, like, you watch videos of Chris Dave playing.
Yeah.
And it's just, that thing sounds so great. It's so awesome.
All right, well, Felix, man, let's plug Benny. Let's plug all the singles that are out, all the videos that are out. Let's plug them right now.
Let's plug it.
So we got Super Lonely.
Super Lonely. Oh, I don't even know. Why are the videos out? There's Super Lonely. There's a video for Soaked. There's a video for Tough Guy. There's a video for Glitter. Yeah, just search up Benny, B-E-N-E-E, on Spotify and YouTube, and then if we come to a city near you, come and hang out. It'll be fun. We can chat and have a beer.
I'll say this to listeners. Yeah, when you see Benny come to your town, go see him, because I was very surprised by it. I had no idea what you guys sounded like. And when I saw you guys live, I was like, this is one of the better performances I've seen in 2019 by far. Yeah, so it's a great show. They sound fantastic. So is that an album, by the way, or is it just a bunch of singles?
She has actually got an album coming out at, I think, more closer to the end of the year. But she does have two EPs out. So she's got Stellar and Steve, and then Fire on Mars. Okay. So go check those out on Spotify.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll put all these links, man, in the description of this episode.
Awesome.
Everybody go follow Instagram, Felix Holton. Go check him out. Give him some give him some support. All right. He's a young guy, but he sounds like he's older. He sounds like a seasoned drummer. So give him some love.
I might just put that in my bio now on my Instagram. I'm a young guy, but I sound older.
Yeah, that's right, man. that's a compliment.
No, thank you very much.
Felix, thanks so much for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun. Really appreciate it.
Here's from the States to you in New Zealand. And man, take care. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Stay safe.